Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, January 8th, and I'm Nat Cardos reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, National Weather Service in Eureka issues high surf advisory, warns of cold morning conditions, contaminated runoff from Arcata Fire spurs emergency declaration, and Redway Road closure on Upper Oak Ridge Drive due to work from Redway Community Services District. So stay tuned. Those stories and more coming up.
Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection these tribes have to this region.
Following the storm system that passed through Humboldt County yesterday, a high surf advisory was put in place by the National Weather Service in Eureka. The advisory encompasses coastal Del Norte, Humboldt, and Mendocino counties, where residents may see waves from 22 to up to 25 feet tall. KMUD News spoke to James White, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Eureka, for more information on the high surf advisory.
We just had, a storm system pass through yesterday. That storm system, as it moved across the ocean, created a lot of really steep waves, and as is normally the case, those waves are now arriving behind the storm, so they're really starting to impact our beaches now. Those waves are already peaking around now. They're just over 20 feet at around 15 seconds, and what that means on the beach is waves running up the beach up to around 25 feet or so. And so that's very high surf for area beaches. That just means, folks need to be extra cautious if they're on the beaches. Beaches that normally might have a lot of area there aren't going to have so much with those waves running up. So they're not what we would normally consider sneaker waves. Sneaker waves are waves that we consider, when you normally calm conditions and waves come unexpected. These high surf conditions, the waves are unexpected. They're just really high. So, that'll continue here through the day. That swell is going to slowly begin to decay and break down here as we head into Friday and into the weekend. So conditions will generally get calmer into Saturday with maybe some sneaker waves and other swell early next week, but much less than this current one.
The advisory urges the public to keep a safe distance from the ocean during this time, and that surf conditions may be particularly dangerous near rocks, jetties, and steeply sloped beaches. It is always important to remember to stay away from the ocean during times like this and to never turn your back on the ocean.
Sometimes we get really high surf that would actually impact houses on the beach. This isn't that high, so it really shouldn't be a problem for any actual infrastructure or houses on the beach. But just for folks that might be enjoying the sunnier weather today and stuff, be extra cautious, stay further back from the water, especially in some of those steeper beaches that don't have a whole lot of space to move around.
Additionally, the National Weather Service warns of cold morning conditions, with temperatures reaching just below freezing overnight. The conditions are supposed to last throughout tonight, with temperatures dropping as low as between 18 to 32 degrees in northern Humboldt to between 15 to 36 degrees in southern Humboldt. Areas like Trinity Center, Hayfork, Ruth, and Covelo are projected to have some of the lowest temperatures, ranging from 15 to 18 degrees overnight, according to the minimum apparent temperatures forecast.
There's a product called a cold weather advisory, which we're kind of on the borderline of issuing for the coast, for some of the southern areas. But, it's not too unusual, but it's just kind of calling out that, our conditions, especially for the coast here tonight into early Friday, are going to be much colder than normal. And for the coast, that's talking about low temperatures, probably right below freezing, around 30 degrees tonight. Kind of calling out that, we don't want to have too much wind. It was a little bit windier last night, so there's a little bit more wind chill. So there won't be too much wind, but it'll almost just be much colder than normal temperatures for one night here. And then we're going to quickly start warming back up again into the weekend.
Humboldt County roads may see some lingering snow, ice, or storm debris in rural and higher elevation areas. As always, motorists are encouraged to slow down on these roads and to drive safely. As of recording, all highways are open and seeing minimal conditions change due to the cold temperatures. Interstate 5 is open, but slightly snowy. Highway 36 is open with areas of construction, but chains are required off and on from 3 miles west of Mad River, Xenia Road, to 5 miles west of Forest Glen. Highway 299 is also open with slightly snowy conditions on Barry Summit.
No, we're pretty much done with precipitation. We had a little bit of snow this morning up on Berry Summit, just east of Eureka. They had just shy of about an inch of snow up there. It's around 2,500 feet or so. So there's some light snow around the area this morning, but a lot of that's already melting here during the day. There shouldn't be any additional snowfall tonight.
Weather conditions are due to improve in the coming days. For up-to-date weather information, the website is weather.gov/EKA. Emergency response to the fire that ravaged Arcata's downtown area last weekend isn't over, as the impacts of contaminated water runoff have to be addressed. Daniel Mintz reports.
The massive fire that destroyed half of the Arcata city block at 10th and H Streets has spurred a related emergency, as the county is seeking help with assessing and addressing the impacts of millions of gallons of contaminated water running off into stormwater and wastewater systems. At a January 7th special meeting, the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors approved an emergency declaration due to what a written staff report describes as, quote, runoff containing ash, debris, and potentially hazardous substances from the January 2nd fire. The five-alarm blaze destroyed seven businesses, some upper-story apartments, and several businesses were damaged. But the county's emergency declaration is based on what the staff report describes as, quote, an imminent threat to public health and safety. Sheriff Billy Hansel declared a local emergency on January 3rd and told supervisors why a county declaration is also needed.
Over the weekend, the city assessed the situation. They brought in environmental health, and due to a lot of the contaminants that were in these buildings, a lot of contaminants and hazardous waste was potentially pushed down into the wastewater and stormwater systems in the city of Arcata, which again flows to various creeks, sloughs, and ultimately the bay. At that point in time, environmental health from the county recommended that we bring in experts from California EPA and other state agencies to assess the situation, to test, to make sure that any of the assistance that we needed could be there to help with potential cleanup. And at that point in time, they wanted to declare a local emergency because there's resources that they need outside the county.
Arcata City Manager Merritt Perry explained further, saying the city is working to assess the runoff impacts and help businesses, property owners, and tenants.
One of the big questions we have right now is the assessment. There was a lot of water put onto that fire. There was a paint store that was involved in the fire, so there's a lot that went into the storm drains. And right now, we just don't have the capacity to assess that, and so we've ordered that the county, and we really want to be able to leverage those state resources to make sure we're doing everything that we can to protect our waterways in the bay. And so that's really the big one. Really, our secondary focus, too, is to support those businesses, the property owners, and the residents who are displaced. That's probably going to be a much lower dollar amount, but at this point, you know, that is our secondary focus, along to focus on cleaning up the environment, assessing it, cleaning up the environment, and then also helping our property owners.
Arcata Fire District Chief Chris Emmons said the fire was a countywide event, bringing in departments from as far away as Wyatt, the Eel River Valley, and Trinidad. Supervisor Mike Wilson's district includes Arcata, and he said he was informed of the fire as he was driving back from an out-of-town family visit. Wilson lives two blocks from the fire site and said the blaze was, quote, impactful to the entire neighborhood. Wilson said the destroyed businesses had importance beyond economic value.
And I just want to say, like, it wasn't just the businesses as like economic assets, but each one of them had their own community. You went into them, you would always see many people the same there. They just were all community. They're all their own community centers, the hardware store and everybody else. And so, there were artists, there were board game players, there were world travelers. There's all kinds of folks in that half block. And so we're going to work really hard to rebuild, move people into other places where that can happen, and hopefully get there. And I just want to deepest thanks to everybody who responded, both to the city and the county and all our public safety folks.
There were no human deaths related to the fire, but Supervisor Natalie Arroyo said, quote, our hearts go out to those who lost pets, and quote, livelihoods and irreplaceable art and pieces of culture were lost. She said an outpouring of community support has followed the fire, and quote, I trust that we will be able to leverage even more resources through this emergency declaration. It was unanimously approved. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
closer to the station here in Redway, residents should be aware that the upper end of Oak Ridge Drive will be closed tomorrow due to work on the town's sewer collection system, as announced today by Redway Community Services District, Redway CSD. We spoke with Cody Cox, General Manager at Redway CSD, for more information about the road closure.
Starting tomorrow around 9 a.m., we're going to have the combo truck out there. We're going to be jetting and vacuuming, cleaning the sewer line, going down to Oak Ridge, and then we're going to move in to camera it for inspection. And this is going to be going out on throughout the year, you know, pretty continually. So when you see us out or you see this announcement, that is what we're doing. We're moving through cleaning, and then we're inspecting. Just Oak Ridge that's going to be closed, and if in the event of emergency, we can get out of there pretty, we can break down pretty quick if we need to.
Once again, the sewer work will be tomorrow on Friday on Upper Oak Ridge Drive between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Redway CSD asks drivers to circle around or avoid driving in the area while they work. For more information, the website is redwaycsd.org. In state news, today, California Governor Gavin Newsom delivered his final State of the State address to a joint session of the legislature in the state capitol. This address marked Newsom's first in-person address to legislature in 5 years, a move that some lawmakers have been calling for. His speech to lawmakers highlighted California's economic growth, falling homelessness rates, and expanded education funding, as well as positioning himself for a possible presidential run. Prior to the speech, there was a moment of silence held to honor Renee Nicole Good, a 37-year-old woman who was fatally shot by a federal immigration agent yesterday in Minneapolis. Lawmakers also honored U.S. Representative Doug LaMalfa, who served California's 1st District and passed away on Monday of this week. In the address, Newsom criticizes the Trump administration and casts California as a, quote, beacon during the current administration.
In Washington, the president believes that might makes right, that the courts are simply speed bumps, not stop signs, that democracy is a nuisance to be circumvented. Secret police, businesses being raided, windows smashed, citizens detained, citizens shot. Mass men snatching people in broad daylight, people disappearing, using American cities as training grounds for the United States military. Purposeful chaos emanating from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Shifting a tax burden from the wealthy, from billionaires to small businesses, ranchers, farmers, and the middle class, lining the pockets of the rich, crony capitalism at unimaginable scale, state capitalism, self-dealing, profit-making, not policy-making. Rolling back rights of marginalized communities, rewriting history, censoring historical facts. Their politics, some politics of some twisted nostalgia about restoring the dynamics of a bygone era. None of this is normal. And it's important to remember at moments like this, the greatest tragedy is not, as King said, the clamor of bad people, but it's the appalling silence of so many good people. Not normal. But in California, we're not silent. You're not silent. You're not hunkering down. We're not retreating. We're a beacon. The state is providing a different narrative, an operational model, a policy blueprint for others to follow. This state, this people, this experiment in democracy belongs not to the past, but it belongs to the future. Expanding civil rights for all, opening doors for more people to pursue their dreams, dreams that are not exclusive, not to any one race, not to any one religion or class, standing up for traditional virtues, compassion, courage, and a commitment to something larger than our own self-interest, and asserting that no one, particularly the President of the United States, stands above the law.
Newsom also mentioned that his administration expects revenues to be $42.3 billion higher over the next 3 fiscal years than was forecast last year. However, in November, the nonpartisan Legislative Analyst's Office warned that California faces a nearly $18 billion budget shortfall. However, the government's Department of Finance doesn't always agree with the Legislative Analyst's estimates.
It will be a general fund budget of $248.3 billion. But this is interesting. You may want to write this down. It includes revenues that are $42.3 billion higher than we forecasted. $42.3 billion higher. Why? Why? Because our economy is growing. Our population's growing. Why? Because of the energy and daring of entrepreneurs that are growing and dominating in the industries of the future. As a result of that $42.3 billion windfall, by the way, did not even include the December numbers, which just came in almost $3 billion above projection. Interesting fact.
Part of the windfall will be used to increase per-pupil funding at public schools, which will be a record-breaking $27,418 per student. Part of the windfall will also be used to pay pension obligations. Newsom also announced an estimated 9% drop statewide in unsheltered homelessness last year. Despite improvements, according to the Public Policy Institute of California, the state is still home to 24% of the nation's homeless population.
The number of unsheltered homeless in California dropped almost double digits, 9% last year in 2025. It dropped in the state of California. First time in over a decade and a half that we can lay claim to that. LA down 10.3%, Riverside down 19%, Contra Costa County down 34.8%. And I'll remind folks, by the way, you think this is unique to California, overall homelessness in the state, in the United States of America went up 18.13% last year. California, 2025. Unsheltered homeless, 9% reduction. First time in almost two decades. So the investments are paying off, and of course, it's not good enough, particularly for those living on the streets, self-medicating with drug and alcohol addictions, those suffering from bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and paranoia. But because of your leadership and new tools to address this issue, we've modernized California's landmark conservatorship laws for the first time in over half a century. You created Care Court, a new legal framework to connect people with untreated psychosis to court-ordered services and housing. And the California voters, they did their part. They supported Proposition 1 with a passage in 2024, $6.38 billion. Here's a brief update for folks that just think this is all going to go away on its own and we don't have to make investments.
In Humboldt County, according to the state of California's accountability.gov website, unsheltered homelessness in Humboldt County is down 8.8%, and between 2019 and 2024, 1,050 housing units have been completed. Despite some local protests, Caltrans removed 241 homeless encampments between July 1st of 2021 to August 3rd of 2025. Newsom also mentioned that two of his top priorities, the mental health program known as Care Court and Proposition 1, the statewide bond measure that he pushed to provide funding for mental health and homelessness, are showing results ahead of schedule.
In just 18 months since the voters approved that program, we've already approved 70% of the new treatment beds and slots that were promised under Prop 1. It's the fastest distribution of bond money in California's history. The fastest. 4,000, here's a numeric, 4,236 new locked and unlocked mental health beds, 18,875 new outpatient beds. It's a big deal. And on July 1st, in just a matter of months, this year, we'll implement the second phase of Proposition 1 by redirecting $1 billion a year in annual mental health funding for housing and treatment for people living on the streets, providing counties what they've been asking for. $1 billion predictable every year. So I say this with love and respect to the counties. No more excuses. It's time to bring people off the streets and out of encampments and into housing and treatment. No more excuses. You've done your job, members of the legislature. We have. No more. State vision is realized locally. Localism is determinative. Just is. Period. That doesn't mean our hands are clean. No one's naive about that. And that's why just since 2021, the state has removed, with your support, some 19,000 encampments. And we've worked with providers all across the state to get over 61,000 people out of those encampments and into services. We're seeing results, making streets safer for everyone, fully recognizing the quality of life is at the core of so much of the frustration people feel about our state. And when it comes to quality of life, when it comes to public safety specifically, let's talk about the facts.
The governor also criticized the administration's depictions of California cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco as lawless, pointing out that there have been double-digit decreases in crime overall. According to the Los Angeles Police Department, LA saw a drop in violent crime last year at nearly 19% by year's end. According to the Council of Criminal Justice, a nonpartisan criminal justice think tank organization, from 2019 to 2025, most crime trends in San Francisco have been down, with the exceptions of gun assaults, shoplifting, and drug offenses.
We have seen double-digit decreases in crime overall in the state of California. Property crime. Property crime down, aggravated assault down, car theft down, burglary down, robbery down, violent crime down. California cities are seeing record low homicide rates. Oakland, the lowest homicide rates since 1967. LA, the lowest since 1966. My old town, San Francisco, they're going to have to update their talking points, aren't they? My old town, San Francisco, the lowest homicide rates since 1954.
Newsom also revealed a major shift in how education is overseen in the state, unifying the State Board of Education with the California Department of Education.
We also have some reforms that I think are long overdue. And I know not everyone may share enthusiasm for these reforms, but I think it's time to modernize the management of our educational system. So the budget I'll be submitting tomorrow proposes that we unify the policymaking by the State Board of Education and the Department of Education, which I believe will allow the State Superintendent of Public Instruction to align our educational policies from early childhood through college much more efficiently. I believe that's important and long overdue reform.
Newsom also honored the late Representative LaMalfa towards the end of the speech, mentioning that he had been speaking to the representative about water policy just last week.
We lost someone I thought was a wonderful human being, Doug LaMalfa. I was engaging with him on water policy just last week. Doug had our back. Doug was there in the first round. Doug met with us. Doug said, we don't play politics with this. It's time for the President of the United States to act like the President of the United States, all the United States of America, to fulfill his promises that he made to deliver for the people of Los Angeles. It's time for the President of the United States to do his job, not turn his back on Americans that happen to live in the great state of California. He was there. We were there for you in paradise.
He also praised firefighters that battled the Palisades and Eaton fires that occurred just a year ago, earning a standing ovation from the chamber. Rounding out the speech, he mentioned the successes of California, which is now the world's fourth largest economy.
Culture, food, music, AI, biotech, quantum computing, agriculture, all happens here first. We don't run from change, we drive it. And we're proving that inclusive democracy works. We're proving that expanding human rights works. We're proving that legal immigration works. And we're proving that a progressive tax structure works. California's never been about perfection. We're about persistence, the courage of our convictions, and the strength to embody them. That's the California way. And it lights the path for the rest of the world. The work we do, the work you do, building a California where every person can see themselves is never ending. And so we continue on. Because years from now, we can tell our children we did not settle for the world as it was. We can say with pride, we built something worthy of them. We built the future.
To view the full speech, it can be found on the Associated Press YouTube channel. In national news, ICE officer fatally shoots woman in Minneapolis, Trump administration claims domestic terrorism, Mayor Frey calls justification garbage. KPFA's Christina Onnested reports.
Kill someone else! You're up for it!
Outrage and protests in the streets of Minneapolis after an ICE Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent shot and killed a woman in her vehicle this morning during protests. As tensions mount over the Trump administration's deployment of some 2,000 immigration agents to the state, the fatal ICE shooting was caught on video. It shows a vehicle halfway in the street as an unmarked truck pulls up. Two agents in military gear exit it and approach the vehicle, ordering the driver to get out of the effing car.
No!
One agent walks up to the door and tries to open it as the car begins to move. A third agent walks in front of the vehicle and pulls out his weapon, moves to the side. The car continues moving and the agent fires into the driver's side window.
No!
The car then speeds and crashes. Video shows the woman's body hanging out of the car with the door open. The person recording the video then follows the agent.
You! Shame! Shame! Shame!
Minnesota Shame! Governor Tim Walz.
This morning we learned that an ICE officer shot and killed someone in Minneapolis. My deepest condolences to the family, to the loved ones who had to learn about this tragic event on national television. We have been warning for weeks that the Trump administration's dangerous, sensationalized operations are a threat to our public safety, that someone was going to get hurt. Just yesterday, I said exactly that.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem defended the shooting, speaking from a press conference near the U.S.-Mexico border in Brownsville, Texas.
It was an act of domestic terrorism. What happened was our ICE officers were out in an enforcement action. They got stuck in the snow because of the adverse weather that is in Minneapolis. They were attempting to push out their vehicle, and a woman attacked them and those surrounding them and attempted to run them over and ram them with her vehicle. An officer of ours acted quickly and defensively shot to protect himself and the people around him. And my understanding is that she was hit and is deceased. We're continuing to gather more information, but this goes to show the assaults that our ICE officers and our law enforcement are under every single day.
But this eyewitness to the shooting in Minneapolis, Aiden Erzana, spoke with Fox News 9 from the scene and refuted that claim.
The agents had been on either side, so they just backed up a few feet and then drove forward again. Somebody else said that the vehicle had been stuck in the snow a little bit. So they weren't driving at a person with any intention of hitting them. They were driving between.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, with the chief of police, pledged a thorough investigation.
To get to the bottom of this, to get justice, and to make sure that there is an investigation that is conducted in full. But what we do know is that a 37-year-old woman is dead.
Minneapolis Congresswoman Ilhan Omar wrote on social media the woman agent shot was a legal observer. As tensions ratchet up between the Trump administration and Democratic states critical of the president's mass deportation agenda, Minnesota Governor Walz urged the administration to leave the state. He's readying the Minnesota National Guard.
We do not need any further help from the federal government. To Donald Trump and Kristi Noem, you've done enough. There's nothing more important than Minnesotan safety. I've issued a warning order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops. They're teachers in your community. They're business owners. They're construction professionals. They are Minnesotans. Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait.
Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey was less diplomatic.
To ICE, get the fuck out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite. People are being hurt. Families are being ripped apart. Long-term Minneapolis residents that have contributed so greatly to our city, to our culture, to our economy are being terrorized, and now somebody is dead. That's on you. And it's also on you to leave.
Local leaders are urging residents to peacefully protest as outrage continues to grow.
They want us to respond in a way that creates a military occupation in our city.
Meanwhile, in Texas, Noem touted their operation in Minnesota as a successful one, noting they've arrested hundreds of people. I'm Christina Onnestad, reporting for Pacifica Radio, KPFA.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Patricia Tinkler, and thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz and Christina Onnestad. KMUD News is online, and you can find us on KMUD.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@KMUD.org. Redwood Community Radio, Inc. is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Nat Cardos.